So Arjuna had asked what it is that practically forces someone to act sinfully against his prescribed duties. And Krishna said, it's
lust,
which comes along with
anger,
and which is born from
Rajaguna,
mode of passion. And which is the number one, enemy number one. Dhumena vriyate vanir yata darsho malena cha yata yutobena avrito garbhas tata tenetam avritam. So there are different degrees of lust, thicker and thickest. If it's a little bit covered, then it's like fire covered by smoke. If it's more covered, then like the mirror covered by dust. And maximum coverage is like the like what?
Embryo covered by the womb.
Embryo covered by the womb. Okay. Avritam. Avritam jnanam etena jnanino nitya vairina kama rupena kontya dushpurena analena cha. First thing is to note what the living entity is called here. What is he called?
Wise living.
Yeah, wise living entity, jnanino. In this way, the jnani's consciousness, his jnanam, the jnanam of the jnani, the knowledge of the wise living entity, is avritam, covered. Etena, by lust, which is nitya vairina, his eternal or constant enemy. Kama rupena kontya dushpurena. Analena cha. Dushpur means never satisfied, never fulfilled. The more sense gratification you supply, the more the senses want. They're never satisfied. They never say, thank you very much, that was good. I'll never ask you for anything again.
I did somewhere.
They never say, that was nice, now I'm satisfied. More. We want more. They're like that, always.
Yes. I read somewhere that, in the folio, that even if we get all the women of opposite sex, I mean, all the individuals of opposite sex, yet we won't be satisfied.
Yeah. Who has ever been satisfied in the material world? Okay. I guess, Simon, it's better late than never. It's been never for a while, so better late. But everybody else who's hiding behind the trees. I'm sorry about that. You've been sick also, huh? Yeah, I heard that. Yeah, I heard. Better today?
Somewhat better.
Okay. How are you doing, Simon? What was wrong? Upper respiratory thing? Well, first thing is you're walking around like it's the middle of the summer and you've got an upper respiratory problem. For those who are newcomers here in Mayapur, this is not what it seems to be. It's not summer with just a little breeze. It's actually winter coming on. And what you get is bright, warm sunshine and a chilly breeze at the same time. So it's tricky. You think that everything's okay. You're walking around, you know, like it's Miami Beach in the summer. But you've got this chill. And you can, this is the season for getting colds. If you've got cold, avoid cold things. Stay wrapped up, keep your feet warm, your head warm. Avoid yogurt. Avoid cold drinks. Avoid sugarcane's not the worst. The worst is Dobbs. Coconut water, avoid. Rice also, actually. I'll say avoid. And eat hot things.
Mm-hmm. Rice is cooling.
Hmm?
Rice is cooling.
Rice is cooling. Wheat is, chapatis, yes. And other stuff is heating. Okay. That's Ayurvedic advice. Free with this course.
Dr. Jayadvaita Vaidya.
No, I'm just repeating.
Vajra.
No, I'm just repeating. So, dushpurena. Lust is never satisfied. The more you feed it, the more it wants. That's the secret of lust. Dushpurena. Never satisfied. And analena. Analena means? Yeah, it's like fire. And everyone has experience, you know, lusty desire practically burns.
Oh, that was from Manusmriti, the one I said. That was not from Poli. That even if you find sex...
Oh, it's Manusmriti.
Yes, from Manusmriti.
This should have Prabhupada mentioned.
So Prabhupada in the commentary mentions Maitunya Agara, that these are the people are after sex and they don't realize that what they're after is the cause of their material bondage. And therefore sex is, Prabhupada says, the great symbol. Lust or sex? What does he say? Lust is the great symbol of ignorance by which the living entity is kept within the material world. While one enjoys sense gratification, it may be there's some feeling of happiness, but actually that so-called feeling of happiness is the ultimate enemy of the sense enjoyer. Yes, was that a question? Or is that, no. So this is basic knowledge. The whole world is ignorant, practically. Most of the world is ignorant of this principle. They think that there... Prabhupada gave the example that there was a man whose wife had a fever and whose maidservant had a fever. So they called in the doctor, and the doctor examined both women. And then he told the man that your wife has a little fever, but it's not very serious. But your maidservant has, you know, a high fever, so she'll need, you know, proper attention. So the wife was at the top of the stairs. She was hearing, I demand a recount. She's only the maidservant, and I'm the wife, and she has a higher fever than I do? This is material civilization. They think they're making advancement. The higher their fever, the more they're making progress. Persons, you know, the more he gets involved, you know, the more he's increasing his lust, the more he thinks that he's, you know, going somewhere. But the more he's making himself miserable. That's material life. Therefore, brahmacharya, control of the senses, is the beginning of education. Any questions so far? Yes?
Lust is in the mode of passion, but here it is given lust is a symbol of ignorance.
Yeah. Maybe born from passion, but it leads to everything. That, yes. Passion is like lust and passion are there, but as soon as passion is there, then one becomes blind. Ignorance. And we could think of so many examples. Okay. Indriyani mano buddhir asyadhishtana muchyate etair vimohayatyet echa ganam avritya dehin. Etai means by these, or through these. Indriyani mano buddhir. These are the... what's the example Prabhupada gives? What's this? What's going on here? What's it like? Strategically?
Lust is capturing different...
Yeah.
different strategic points.
Yeah, lust has captured different strategic... I mean, what do we use to work with? We use our mind. We use our intelligence. We use our senses. So lust invades all three. Invades the senses, invades the mind, invades the intelligence. And through these, etai, vimohayati, it completely, powerfully bewilders the living being. Avritam, gyanam avrit, it covers this knowledge. The mind becomes covered by lust, drags down the intelligence, intelligence becomes covered by lust. Senses are already pulling on the mind for lust. Gyanam avrit chadehina. In this way, the conditioned soul becomes overwhelmed by illusion through lust. So this is the enemy's strategic locations that have to be recognized. Any questions so far? Okay. Tasmat. Tasmat means? Therefore. Tasmat tvam indriyani ado. Ado means?
In the beginning.
From the very beginning. Niyamya. One has to control indriyani, the senses. Papmanam prajihi yenam. Gyanavigyanam nashanam. And in this way, one has to conquer. Prajahi, conquer? Yes. Curb, conquer. Papmanam, this sinful enemy in the form of lust, which is Gyanavigyana nashanam. Gyana means? And Vigyana? Self-realization, realized knowledge, applied knowledge. And nashana means destroyed. This is the result of lust. Gyanavigyana nashana. You lose your knowledge, or else you get, you lose your knowledge, you lose your ability to apply knowledge. Everything's wiped out. Gyanavigyana nashana.
Control alt delete.
Yeah, control alt delete. Except the control alt delete gets reset. This is more like a hard disk crash. All your data gets wiped out. Your programs can't run properly. Control alt delete would be good by comparison. This is more like what they call the blue screen of death. This is the pitiful condition of the human being. He's Jnani by nature, he's full of knowledge, but lust takes over, and his knowledge is taken away, his ability to understand or apply knowledge is taken away by his great enemy in the form of lust. And he's so bewildered that he thinks it's good. He goes for it. Probably gives the example that a moth, the fire doesn't jump out at the moth. So the moth voluntarily flies into the fire. Oh, so nice. Yeah. Her eyes are sparkling and she's got pretty teeth, and pretty soon, you know, Gyanavigyananashana. Therefore, ado, from the very beginning, one has to curb lust. Chanakya Pandit says three things one has to deal with quickly.
Fire,
debt, and disease. I guess this isn't debt. So it's either fire or disease or both.
And soon you'll be in debt.
And soon you'll be in debt, yeah. My goodness.
Fire, poison,
No, debt. Debt, disease, and fire, he says, one has to deal with quickly. Why? If you don't deal with debt quickly, interest, compound, pretty soon, you know, then you're borrowing against one credit card with another credit card, and soon you're way over your head. You can't pay. disease, you know, some little disease you could have taken care of very quickly, but you let it go, you let it go. And then the doctor says, I'm sorry, you know, if only you'd seen me sooner.
Terminal cancer.
You know, but now it's too late. And fire, same thing, you know. Little fire someplace, it could have been dealt with, but now it's like covering three counties, you know. So, from the beginning, same thing, lust. You know, a little lusty desire, you know, someone applies a little bit of intelligence, a little bit of self-control, a little bit of Krishna consciousness, a little tolerance, and all right, lust goes. Otherwise, one lets it go, and lets it go, and lets it go, and lets it go, and pretty soon, one thing's leading to another. Jayato vishaya pumsam sangaste shupa jayate sangat sanjayate kama kama krodho vijayate krodhad bhavati sammoha sammohat smriti bibramaha smriti bramshad buddhinasho buddhinashad pranashati. Therefore, ado means jayata, at the meditation stage, before it becomes fixed meditation.
Nipit in the bud.
Yeah, they say nipit in the bud. Any questions here?
In the very beginning.
In the very beginning.
Since the early age or?
Yeah, that's also from the very beginning. Before lust, because if one's not trained properly, then one gets, especially lust comes on in adolescence and one is totally confused and doesn't know what to do. Therefore, the brahmachari training is there before, so that he's equipped. So that's one meaning of ado. And another meaning of ado is, as soon as lust enters the heart, as soon as there's some lusty desire, don't say, well, you know, here's something interesting to think about, or let's see where this leads. And just kind of, whoa. Yeah.
But we have seen that
Or people, you know, they get on the internet and some image comes across and you know, they just kind of
hypnotized.
And then, you know, start getting in trouble. Like we've had people who've like gotten, you know, had serious problems in their spiritual life because of that internet. Who uses the internet? Who sees these pictures now and then? But just some practical information. There are things that you can do that prevent your browser from even going to those sites. There are your parental control things. It's built into Windows, and you can set it so that, you know, there are different levels, green and yellow, and whatever it is. You can set it so that this is forbidden, this is forbidden, this is forbidden, this is forbidden. And then if you go to one of those sites or try to go, it blocks it and says you can't go here. And if you have a real problem, you can password protect those settings and throw away the password. Yeah. Be careful about the internet, because people are spending, I mean, you're just browsing, but there's somebody who's a businessman who's spending big time money to figure out how to grab you by the something, you know, or others and screw your mind up.
Yeah. Big business.
They're using, you know, people get PhDs in psychology and use them this way to figure out, you know, how can we bewilder someone. And the Wall Street Journal did an article on the economics of it. Well, when the internet was new, and everyone was figuring, okay, everybody's getting on it, and we can show our, you know, products there, but how do we make money on the internet? They hadn't figured out yet how to make money on the internet, how to sell anything and actually turn a profit. But the porn guys were already clearing, you know, huge amounts. And they're still, I think, practically the biggest industry on the internet. You know, there's Amazon.com selling books and stuff, but the porn guys are the ones who are making big-time money. Why? Because people don't have this education in the beginning, curb your lusty desires, they're paying, you know, whatever it is per hour to feed their lusty desires. I mean, what gratification are they getting from a, you know, a pixelated naked woman? You know, just little dots of color on a screen. All they can do is agitate their minds. And that's what they're doing. So here from Bhagavad Gita, from the very beginning, don't go that way and lose your intelligence. From the very beginning, control lusty desires.
In the Bhagavad Gita, it says only a rare soul
can. Rare soul means you chant Hare Krishna, you become among the rare souls. Chant Hare Krishna, depend on Krishna. After all, manusyanam sahasreshu. It's rare, but by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, it's more common. Another question? Yes?
In the purport, the Prabhupada mentioned that when love of God deteriorates into lust, it is very difficult to return to normal condition.
Yes.
So is there any hope?
Yeah, nonetheless, Krishna consciousness is so powerful that even a late beginner can become a lover of God by following the principles of devotional service.
But Maharaj, the bewildering thing is the Gurukul boys who are trained from beginning, when they get
distracted.
Yeah, their training is not perfect. And it's after being trained, then they have to be, there's careful handling, you know. It's careful handling. Some of the Gurukul boys that get, you know, they actually, anyone who's been proper, who's been trained in the Gurukul, even take the ones who are, you know, a little bit spoiled, and you know, send them out in the world and compare them to what's out there, they look good.
Yeah.
You know, they have these bad habits, they eat chocolate. You know, compared to the people out there in the world, our failure Gurukul kids look pretty good. You know, we look at them and say, you know, oh God, what happened to these kids? But compared to what's out there, you know, our Gurukul kids look at those kids and say, oh, they're so gross, you know. And what to speak of the Gurukul kids who are successful in their, you know, spiritual practices. That's also good. So, you know, it's a new project, training these young boys and girls. But it's not a project to be abandoned.
Practically, we don't see any Gurukul training in the world today, except in some ISKCON like that. But in Priyatnai, when Krishna was there, there were Gurukul system all over the world.
Yeah, all over the world. Still now, it's not that ISKCON has the only Gurukuls. There are Gurukuls also.
Today we have schools and colleges, but they hardly teach anything about, you know.
They teach you how to become a cat or a dog. Everyone knows what goes on the college campus. They're not like bastions of celibacy. Even in India, I was naive. You know, some of the young people were telling me what goes on in colleges in India. I guess my eyes were opened. They were opened real wide, too. My goodness. Things are deteriorating. So, and not, you know, it doesn't make anyone happy. It's not that because they can mix together on college campuses, you know, they're thinking they're, it's not that they become happy that way. Nasa siddhim avapnoti nasukkam napuran. Okay, shall we go on? Yes? Are you going to ask that question real loud? Yeah. Kapha Pitta Vayu. Three elements, Kunapetri Dhatuke. According to Ayurveda, I'll show off more of my Ayurvedic now. According to Ayurveda, there are three items within the body, or three constituents, three dhatus. Kapha, Pitta, and Vayu. When you've got upper respiratory problems, then it means that these dhatus are out of balance. Kapha is agitated now. Kapha, they're translated in different ways. It's sometimes mucus, bile, and air. Although that's not exactly what they are. Anyway, these three constituents are there. Shall we move on? Indriyani paranyahur indriyebhya param manaha manasastu parabuddhir yobuddhe padatastu sah. Okay, this is a hierarchy again. We'll write it right here on the scribble board. Here's what? And lowest?
Gross matter.
Gross matter. Higher than gross matter?
Senses.
Senses. Higher than the senses?
Mind.
Higher than the mind?
Intelligence.
Higher than intelligence?
Soul.
And higher than the soul?
Super soul.
Super soul. So how should things be controlled?
Top down.
Top down. Super soul directs the soul, soul takes the direction, controls
actually
intelligence with the intelligence, controls the mind with the mind, controls the senses. Otherwise, what happens? How does the control take place?
Opposite. The senses control the mind.
Bottom up.
Yeah.
Sense objects start pulling on the senses. The senses get excited and start pulling on the mind. Hey, look at this. Hey, look at this. Hey, look at this. Hey, look at this. We want this. We want this. And the mind starts pulling on the intelligence. Hey, intelligence. Look at this. Look at this. Then the intelligence thinks up a theory why this is better. Actually, this would be much better because if we do this, or the intelligence thinks up how to do it, well, you know, we could meet behind the such and such building, and you know, I'll have somebody, you know, when your mother's off here and your father's off here, then I'll give some excuse to my parents and I'll meet you out in the sugarcane fields. You know, that's intelligence. But what kind of intelligence is it? It's intelligence that's been dragged down by the mind, which has been dragged down by the senses, which has been pulled away by the sense objects. Buddhi nashat pranashati. Therefore, Krishna says, this is the progression. Evam buddhe, therefore, buddhe param buddhva samstabhyat manam atmana jahi shatrum mahabaho kama rupa durasavam. Understanding this hierarchy, you should control your mind by deliberate spiritual intelligence, samstabhyatmanam, and jahi shatrum, conquer that enemy. Yes?
Because I'm a conditioned soul, it's very hard for me to have contact with the super soul, to feel the super soul.
Yeah.
So it's bona fide also to go from down. To engage first the senses and then they will...
Engage the senses where?
In devotional service.
How do you do that?
Yeah, I need to engage first mind.
How do you get your mind engaged?
You know, have contact with super soul.
How do you get... You can't have contact with super soul?
Yeah, because now I'm...
Outside. How do you get contact with super soul?
Super soul outside the body.
Spiritual master. Spiritual master.
Spiritual master. He is the representative of the Supersoul. Bhagavad Gita, the Supersoul is speaking personally. Shastra is there, spiritual master is there. Sadhus are there, they're also representing the Supersoul. Can you take direction from the Supersoul?
Yeah. Maharaj, why are we leaving out the ego part here? Mindless ego?
Why are we leaving it out?
Yeah.
We want to leave it out. We don't want anything to do with the false ego. No, we're leaving it out from where?
From this list, from this hierarchy list.
Let's see. Yes. Also implied. Intelligence, mind. Ego is there. but it's also there. The false ego is to be gotten rid of. Actually, it's sa. Sa means the person. But when he's dragged down, then it's false ego.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's real ego. Saha, soul. Yes?
When it lists the eight material elements, doesn't that include the false ego, which is seen to be material?
Yeah.
If you were saying sa, that refers to the soul.
Sa means the soul. So the soul, when he's misdirected, then there's false ego. And when he's properly directed, then there's real ego.
So then it's like contaminated by a, it becomes like a material element, so to speak.
Yeah. The soul, false ego is a very subtle thing. It's the point of contact or identification with material nature, with the material energy, and the point at which he thinks, I'm this body. Well, by higher intelligence, one has to conquer the lust. You can say that the lust is false ego from one point of view. As soon as there's lust, there's false ego. Or as soon as there's false ego, it's a symbol of lust. So you can say that false ego is the enemy of the soul, but it's manifested in its passionate, all its passionate excellence as lust.
Lust also means for me. It is not just the sexual lust, but anything else.
Yeah. It means any, you know, if somebody wants to eat and eat and eat and eat and eat, that's also lust. Or he wants to, you know, wants more and more gold, that's also lust.
Name, fame.
He wants name and fame, that's also lust. But classic lust is lust. The number one object of lust is
sex.
You know, how many men get agitated when they see like a little plate of food, you know, of even very delicious food sitting? How many of them start, you know, really just getting out of control? And if, you know, you, this example is given by C.S. Lewis, Christian writer, that you have a plate of food and it's covered by a little napkin or something, and imagine that somebody just like slightly, you know, pulls back the napkin a little bit, pulls it back a little
Nobody's
more.
Nobody's thinking about the prasadam.
Pulls it back a little more, pulls it back, you know, who goes nuts? Right? I mean, maybe somebody, but you know, men don't start climbing the walls over that. But for sex, you know. You know, as soon as his mind has gone to pieces. So this is the number one. Therefore, Prabhupada says, Maitunya Agara, the shackles of sex. That's the focal point of material attachment. And therefore, spiritual training means? Thank you very much. It means training and controlling sex life. That's the meaning. Jahi Shachu Mahabaho Kamarupa Durasadam. And that's possible by Krishna consciousness. By knowing oneself as the eternal servitor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Any other questions here? Yeah, there's real ego.
Real ego.
What does ego mean?
Sense of apparent self.
Self-identity.
Ego, it comes from Latin, it means I am. So it transferred means the sense of oneself. So I am. I'm something. Aham Brahmasmi.
Servant of Krishna.
I'm servant of Krishna. I'm spirit soul. So that's real ego, real identity. Then there's a false ego, ahamkar,
ahamameti.
I'm this body, everything is mine. Anything else?
Thus knowing oneself to be transcendental to the material sense.
Oh.
That means we are transcendental.
Yeah. Are you this body? Are you the mind? Are you the intelligence? Are you transcendental?
Only when you chant, I feel nice.
You may feel nice or not feel nice, but your natural position is, just like a human being may feel healthy or sick, but his natural position is healthy. The natural position of the soul is transcendental. Only in his diseased condition is he messed up. Clear? What does transcendental mean?
It's not material.
It's transcendence.
Yeah, not material. So the soul is not... Are you material when you feel crummy? When you feel bad, are you material? You are. When you feel bad, you're this body? You are. Really? Oh. You mean sometimes you're the soul and sometimes you're the body?
That's tough.
Huh?
The modes are acting. Sometimes we are in
the modes are acting or not acting. When the modes are acting, are you this body?
Sometimes we are accustomed to body.
That's a separate question. Are you the body?
I'm a spirit, sir.
Always or sometimes?
Always.
Is the spirit soul transcendental or not? No, are you transcendental or not? Okay. Bingo. Thank you. Shall we go on to the next chapter? Are we ready for chapter 4? Transcendental knowledge, speaking of transcendental. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha. Imam vivashvate yogam proktavan aham avyayam vivashan manave praha manur ikshakave bravit. What's happening here? What's being explained in this verse? Simon?
Parampara.
Yeah? What is that parampara? Yeah, who's talking to who? Talking to what? Needs a script sheet here. Who talks to who? Talks to who? Talks to who? Oh, this is easy. Come on. Okay. Pretty simple. Krishna says, I spoke to the system, yoga, to the sun god, Vivashan. Vivashan spoke it to Manu. Manu spoke it to his son, Ikshaku. Okay? And Srila Prabhupada gives an extensive purport dealing mainly with the times involved for all of that. He also mentions that why Vivashan? Because the sun is the king of all the planets. So Krishna instructed this science to Vivashan. And there are two Kshatriya lineages. One is from the sun god, the other is from?
Moon.
Krishna appeared in which one?
Moon.
And who appeared in the sun dynasty? Okay. Yes?
I think in the purport, Prabhupada comments that thus this Bhagavad Gita was spoken some 1,400,000 years ago, something like that. But we know that Bhagavad Gita was spoken 5,000 years ago. So is he talking about the essence of the knowledge of the Gita?
No, Krishna says, I spoke this. Oh, you mean on the battlefield of Krishna? Yeah, it means the same.
Yeah.
He doesn't say, I spoke Bhagavad Gita. He says, I spoke yoga. Imam Vivashvate Yogam, I spoke this yoga system. May not have been Sanjaya in the battle and all of this, but Krishna says, I spoke this yoga. I spoke this science of yoga, relationship with the Supreme, to Vibhishan. Evam prampra praptam, imam rajarshiyo viduhu. This is very fundamental. Here we find this term parampara, evam parampara praptam, it was received. grasped. And in this way, Rajarshiya, the saintly kings, understood it. This is very basic in Krishna consciousness, and it's so surprising that we even have to talk about people who, instead of believing in disciplic succession, believe in something called disciplic cessation. Because this system of parampara is accepted everywhere. The Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya accepts the system of parampara. All the other Vaishnava Sampradayas accept the system of parampara. The Mayavadis all accept the system of parampara. The musicians accept the system of parampara. The system of teaching from Guru, even the Muslim musicians, you know, a lot of these, you know, Allah Rakha and all of these people, the great tabla players, Bismillah Khan, you know, the Chennai players, they come in a parampara system. They follow a system of Guru Shishya Parampara. Doesn't matter whether you're Hindu, Muslim, whatever they are, they all follow, and they, you know, and it's not just they have their teacher, but they, you know, it's understood that to learn how to play sitar, or to learn how to play tabla, you have to have not just, if not mechanical, but you have to have the grace of your teacher, you have to please your teacher. They, you know, offer their pranams to their teacher. They, you know, they understand this principle that it has to come down in a line. And there are different lines, you know, if you get into sitar music, there are different Hindustani lines of playing this style and that style, and they're coming down through different lineages. So many different, you know, Ayurveda is coming down. You know, so you learn it from the teacher who learned, and there are lineages of Vaidyas that go way back.
Martial arts also,
yeah, the Buddhists who are totally impersonalists. You know, all these Eastern people who are doing Taekwondo or whatever it is. You know, it's by their... They acknowledge that it's the grace of their teacher that allows them to be, you know, successful in their practice. They all have this. It's not something we've cooked up here or just Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's line or something. It's absolutely 100% fun. Even in the materialistic, karmi Western world, you know, you read these academic books, and it's like, practically they're saying in academic language, I offer my humble obeisances to Professor McGillicuddy of Harvard University, by whose grace my eyes were opened with the torchlight of knowledge, and I was able to understand all this speculative knowledge. Really? Yeah, it's always right there in the introduction, the acknowledgement. I'm indebted to such and such person of, you know, who helped me with my dissertation and got me started in this line of research and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And, you know, and they'll acknowledge that such and such professor was a student of such and such great professor, and, you know, who in turn, you know, was inspired by the great, you know, da-da-da-da-da. Yeah, you have schools of thought, you know. And it comes down in a parampara. Even though, you know, the rigid, you got to learn it by yourself kind of people, learn that you got to learn it by yourself from somebody else. This parampara thing is so fundamental.
But Maharaj, would those lines be called shiksha paramparas or diksha paramparas?
You call them what you want, but there's... Yeah, even there's an initiation, you know, if you want to go to college, you have to pay a lot of money, you have to be certified. It's quite formal. It's not just, you know, show up and learn. You pay, and there's dakshina that, you, what is it, like $50,000 worth of dakshina per year? You know, come on. It's serious business.
The Catholic Church is a kind of...
Every place. Every place. They have more than one parampara. There's the line coming from St. Peter. There's the Eastern lines. There's so many. every spiritual tradition, every material tradition, practically speaking, there's always this, you know, teacher and student. Then the student becomes the next teacher. You know, who's teaching at Harvard? It's the people who were the students previously. You know, they don't have a picture of the professor from 500 years ago up there in front of the class while all the students are on their own reading the books. You know, he had his student. Now that student's standing in front of the class. And the students who are sitting in the class now, some of them will become academics and they'll teach the next class. You know, we have a friend at Harvard, Diana Eck. I remember when she was a grad student, she used to come visit us at the Boston Temple. Now she's the head of a department. She's a, you know, big, important professor. She was a student, now she's a professor. And next, her students will be professors.
She never took initiation.
She took initiation into the Harvard line. So, evam parampara praptam. This knowledge comes in a parampara system. Srila Prabhupada explains it in first canto. The fruit doesn't just drop from the tree. But, you know, one guy goes up to the top of the tree, and one guy's a little below him, one guy's below him, and they hand it down, and you get it down on the ground. Ripe fruit. You get the ripe fruit. Galitam palam. This is the process of understanding, disciplic succession. But sakale neha. Mahatar, over a long period of time, yoga nashta parantapa. This system was lost. And Srila Prabhupada explains that, you know, unscrupulous commentators get in there and start giving their own interpretations, and pretty soon the real thing is lost. And therefore, the parampara explanation has to be reestablished, reintroduced. Yes?
Krishna is the only person who can detect whether a parampara is still alive or if it's not, or anyone else can.
Anyone can see. You know, if there's nobody around, then it's lost. I asked Srila Prabhupada one time that, you know, Vyasadeva was still there. How was it lost? Krishna is telling Arjuna, this system was lost. But Vyasadeva was there, so how was it lost? Prabhupada said that means it was not generally known. You know, just like some medical thing, you know, this Ayurvedic medical knowledge. You know, maybe one or two people, some guy in the Himalayas knows, some guy in Nepal knows, but that means it's lost, you know, because they're the only ones who know it. Whereas previously you could go out to any village and there'd be somebody who would know.
Obscure.
Now it's, you know, maybe somebody perhaps. You know, that means the knowledge is lost. You can't find anyone who's an authorized teacher in this line, and it's lost. Any questions?
Is there any parampara from Vivashan or like
that? Is there a parampara from Vivashan? Yeah. It goes from Vivashan to Manu. And from Manu to Ikshaku. And from Ikshaku to the saintly kings.
So, this particular parampara is lost.
Excuse me?
This,
yeah, it says, yoga nashta. It was lost. Krishna says it was lost. Yes? Prabhupada explains, of course, the Brahmins, yeah, you'd expect it to be to them. But Krishna felt that the Rajarshis, they're important, big, big, responsible men, they should get it.
So why are we teaching to anybody and everybody these days?
Hmm?
Why are we distributing Bhagavad Gita to anybody and everybody? If it is meant only for Rajarshis?
No, not only. You start with the Rajarshis. Not that that's the end of it. Yes?
Is it also because Vyasadev compiled Mahabharata where Bhagavad Gita were included, and it is said that it was for less intelligent class of people, like, I don't know.
So that does, how does that answer his question?
In the sense that
Krishna says, I spoke to the Rajarshis, no.
Rajarshis are not less intelligent.
No.
Krishna said the yoga, the science of yoga, not Bhagavad Gita, but the science of yoga, which is very good.
Interesting question. He could have spoken to a Brahmin. And he does. At different times, Krishna speaks to Brahmins, but here he's speaking, he gives it. You know, it's not that he can only speak it to the Rajarshis, but at least on this occasion. And he's speaking to Arjun, who's Kshatriya. Who's the representative?
The king.
So king, yes.
King.
Naranam Chanaradhipam.
And if the king is kind of properly, then he's responsible for all this.
Yeah, that's why Prabhupada says he spoke to the kings, because they're important representatives. They're the heads of the state, what the king does. Yata Raja, Tata Praja. But then the question is, why not the Brahmins? So on some other occasion, the Brahmins.
Would you also say that the disciplic succession was broken at the time of Bhaktivinoda Thakur?
No, why broken? Bhaktivinoda Thakur was there.
No, but I mean prior to his pioneering Krishna consciousness, all the Sahaja groups.
You can say, if not broken, things were pretty deteriorated. So Kalineha Mahata Yoga Nashta, so practically it was lost. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you read in Chaitanya Charitamrita, it was going great guns. And then within how many years was it? A couple hundred years. Mm-hmm. Things had, plunged. Yes? Oh, is it possible to sort of explain the disciplic succession in the beginning? Yeah, let's give it a shot. I'm not the best at this because my historical bearings are not all that great. There are people who really know all the history stuff. But we will give it a shot. It's on page 31. We won't do it blow by blow by blow, but we'll give a summary. Excuse me. Huh? Great stuff.
Calcium Kijani. Calcium Kijani.
Pills need to be about 20% smaller than. Okay, who's the beginning of the disciplic succession?
Krishna.
And from Krishna, it can go to the Kumaras, it can go to Lakshmi Devi, it can go to
Brahma.
Brahma and
Shiva.
So you get Rudra Sampradaya through Lord Shiva, you get Lakshmi Sampradaya, Sri Sampradaya through Lakshmi, you get the Kumara Sampradaya through the four Kumaras. So who are the big Acharyas in the Lakshmi Sampradaya?
Ramanuja.
In the Kumara Sampradaya? Nimbarka. In the, who did I not mention? Rudra Sampradaya, Vishnu Swami, and in the Brahma Sampradaya, Madhvacharya. Okay. So it's coming down. Krishna, Brahma, Brahma instructs his son, Narad, Narad instructs his disciple, Vyas, and it comes down to Madhvacharya. Now, someone says, well, Vyas was so long ago and Madhva was very recent, comparatively speaking. So there are two possible explanations. One is that Madhva actually met Vyas. He went to such and such place in Himalayas and met Vyas personally.
He's still there.
Still there, met him. Another explanation is that some of the less prominent names are left out. Not every name is given here. This list of 32 is not the complete.
But actually, you're gone from it.
Yeah, give me a break. I said, you know, either A or B, depending which explanation you take. So not every name is given to cover every generation. This is the outline form that's given. So Vyasta Madhvacharya, there may be more people there in the middle who are not mentioned. The fact Let me pull out a letter about that. This is what's called gaps. So-called gaps in the disciplic succession. And for us, it's not a problem. Gap just means that there are more people in there who haven't been mentioned. But then there's other people who point to gaps and say, oh, gaps, 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 you know. And they make some weird philosophy out of gaps. As if, you know, I'll deal with this in a second. Actually, yeah, there are people who have serious gaps in their understanding. Let's see, folio.
And they present themselves as being the real disciplined succession.
Well, that's another whole cuckoo bird thing.
Yeah, I just looked at this.
Yeah, regarding Parampara system, this is an early letter from, 1968 to Dayananda Prabhu. Regarding the Parampara system, there's nothing to wonder for big gaps. Just like we belong to the Brahma Sampradaya, so we accept it from Krishna to Brahma, Brahma to Narad, Narad to Vyasadeva, Vyasa to Madhva, and between Vyasadeva and Madhva, there's a big gap. But it is sometimes said that Vyasa is still living and Madhva was fortunate enough to meet him directly. In a similar way, we find that in the Bhagavad Gita, the Gita was taught to the sun god some millions of years ago, but Krishna has mentioned only three names in this Parampara system, namely Vibhishan, Manu, and Ikshaku, and so these gaps do not hamper from understanding the Parampara system. We have to pick up the prominent acharyas and follow from him. There are many branches also from the Parampara system, and it is not possible to record all the branches and sub-branches in the disciplic succession. We have to pick up from the authority of the acharya in whatever sampradaya we belong to. This is Prabhupada's approach to the big problem of gaps, basically to say, so what? You know, what's the big deal? Either he went and met him personally, or there were some other people there less prominent who are not mentioned. So don't worry yourself about gaps. Then there are these other people who come along, big internet publishers, and it's all gaps, gaps. And really the picture they try to paint is this. Prabhupada painted a very simple picture. There's a disciplic succession, there's a guru, there's a disciple, there's the next disciple, there's the next disciple, there's a system called parampara, the knowledge descends. It's normal, it's regular, it continues, it goes on. It's what Prabhupada calls, if not here, then elsewhere, the unbreakable system of disciplic succession. And then there are these people who come around, and when you listen to them, you could hardly figure out what this thing called parampara is, right? Because there's gaps, and there's this, and there's that, and there's interplanetary diksha, and there's, you know, all this stuff. And, you know, who could figure out what Prabhupada actually meant? It's all very, you know,
convoluted.
you know, it's full of exceptions and it's full of irregularities and you know, how are we supposed to, you know. So we just have to follow Prabhupada.
Whatever that means.
Which means we just follow Prabhupada and everybody else is out of the picture. A very strange cuckoo bird approach to cyclic succession. And so they want to bring these things up, gaps. And, you know, all of a sudden, there it is on the, you know, on your PowerPoint presentation, gaps. And now that's another big problem with you know, it's like a blunderbuss approach. You just shoot bullets until somehow or other the guy goes down, you know. So they're shooting at the disciplic succession. There are gaps, and there's this, and there's that, and there's this, and there's that. And pretty soon you're looking and say, wow, you know, I guess the only safe place is the Prabhupada. And there isn't any disciplic succession left anymore, practically speaking. Very strange. But anyway, Madhva, then it goes down. Madhva has his disciples, Padmanabh, Nrihari, Madhava, Akshobha, Jayatirtha. These are, some of these names are quite well known in the Madhva tradition, Jayatirtha, Gyanasindhu, Dayanidhi. It goes on and on and on. Vyastirtha, Lakshmipati. Now it comes to Madhavendra Puri. Yes?
Maharaj, where is Arjuna
sitting? Who?
Arjuna.
I don't see Arjuna. Do you see him?
Yeah. Where does it fit in? Where does Arjuna fit in?
Arjuna, Krishna, Arjuna. That's the succession.
Yeah. But it says Krishna, Brahma. And then shouldn't Krishna's name appear twice in the disciplic succession?
Krishna, Brahma, Krishna?
Yeah, because Krishna appeared. He gave the knowledge to Brahma initially in the creation of the universe.
Yeah.
And then 5,000 years ago, Krishna descended again.
Yeah.
And gave the knowledge to Arjuna.
Yeah.
So.
Here, see, here's this tree.
Yeah.
Now trace it. Here's a branch. There's a branch. There's a branch. That branch has some branches, and it comes down to here. Now, in that tracing, where's this branch? Someplace else, right? Is it still part of the tree? Why is it part of the tree? Yeah, it's connected to the trunk, right? But that branch is over there and this branch is over here. And this branch has so many other branches and sub-branches and sub-sub-branches. But that branch is over there and branches or sub-branches are a whole different batch of sub-branches. So if this is the Brahma branch, does Arjuna have to appear someplace in this, among the sub-branches here? No, he's over on that branch. And there are four big branches. There's a Lakshmi branch, there's a Brahma branch, there's a Kumara branch, and a Lord Shiva branch. So there are four big branches, and then from those branches, there are more branches. More, more. Shishya, Prashishya, what is that? Shishya? In Chaitanya Charitamrita. Something shishya, prashishya, prashishya, like that. Disciples and disciples and their disciples. That's how it goes. Yeah, look up prashishya there. That's how it goes. It's not that Arjuna has to come on this branch. He's over on that branch. Hmm? Okay. And this is Krishna. He's the sort, if the branches aren't connected to the tree, they're no place.
Shishya, prashishya, upashishya, gana. Jagat vyapilo taro nakilo gana.
Translation?
Naiko gana. Thus the disciples and the grand disciples and their admirers spread throughout the entire world, and it is not possible to enumerate them all.
Yeah. So this
Adi
is
924.
This is Kaviraj Goswami describing the Chaitanya tree. Mm. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is like the root of the whole tree or trunk of the tree. It's the root and the trunk, he's both. And from him come so many branches. Shishya, Prashishya, Upashishya, the disciples and their disciples and followers. That's how it goes. Yes?
Maharaj, would it be correct to say that the anti-party or the people who are speaking of these gaps, they're off because they place too much emphasis on the validity of the Diksha line, as and we're coming more from a
Diksha? No, it's not. That's not why. They're not into any line.
Well, they say
here's their line. Yeah. Here's the line. Let's get. Gee, I could really use a board now. let's see. What am I going to do instead of having a board?
I'll go get the board.
No.
The class is over.
Can you get a board?
I can bring the board because the class is over now.
Bring quick. They have the weirdest picture of disciplic succession. It's not shiksha, it's not diksha. It's not succession.
It's a cessation.
It's disciplic cessation. Really? I'll show it to you. And if you try and pin them down to what they're actually saying, in my experience, you know, they
wiggle.
They wiggle. I've done this. I went to Bangalore and talked to, you know, one of the biggest people there. This was some years ago. And, you know, went through it with him in a room full of people. Okay, you know, he's a spiritual master. Does he have disciples? Yes. Do they have disciples? Well, you know, and it goes on and on that way. And it's like, okay, that means that, okay, does he have disciples? No. You know, it comes to Prabhupada. Does he have disciples? No. Did he have a spiritual master? Yes. Did he have a spiritual master? Yes. Did he have a spiritual master? Yes. So there's a succession. Yes. Then it comes to Prabhupada. Yes. Does he have disciples? Yes. Do they have disciples?
No.
No. So you're saying the disciplic succession stops? No, no, that's not what we're saying.
The Babaji's of Radha Quinn, they say that it stops with Bhakti Siddhanta, right?
No, they say that his line was bogus. They have to think else.
Yeah.
So here's, you know, Krishna, son of Narada, yes. You know, like a computer program, it comes down like this. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes down like that. Then it comes down to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, like that. Then it comes down to Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj, like that. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, like that. Srila Prabhupada. And of course, they all have, you know, disciples and disciples and disciples and disciples. And then Prabhupada has his disciples. And then what happens?
Disciples have disciples.
According to them, Prabhupada remains the spiritual master of everyone for 5,000 years.
Why 5,000 years?
Good question. Why 5,000 years?
The next 5,000 years? Because there's 10,000
years. Why 5,000 years?
Yeah, because we're 5,000 years into Kali Yuga.
Because after 5,000 years, everything... they say no, they don't say 5,000 years. They say...
10,000
years. Thank you. They say for the next 10,000 years, it's Srila Prabhupada. Why? Why this 10,000 year figure? Why?
Kalir dasa sahasrani mad bhakta santi bhutale. For 10,000 years of Kali, my devotees will be...
Right, for 10,000 years... there's a Sankirtan movement. For 10,000 years, there's a Sankirtan movement. After 10,000 years, the movement's over, essentially. You know, maybe there's somebody somewhere, but basically, that's it. You know, now Kali Yuga just swamps the universe, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement, you know, disappears practically. So we've got 10,000 years in which the Sankirtan movement operates. So it's not that the disciplic succession stops. Very important. It's not that we're saying it stops. It only stays with Prabhupada. You see? He remains the current link for 10,000 years. At the end of 10,000 years, what happens? At the end of 10,000 years, what happens?
People are eating each other.
Does it continue? Is that what happens? A new acharya comes after 10,000 years? How? No. There's no Prabhupada has no disciples who have disciples who have disciples. It's Prabhupada for 10,000 years. And after 10,000 years, what happens?
Prabhupada comes back.
What happens after 10,000 years?
The branch is over.
Huh?
There are no more disciples after 10,000 years.
Yeah, I mean, what happens is, it's over.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Sankirtan movement's over.
Party's over.
Party's over.
Game over.
So it's not that the cyclic succession stops, you see. It just stays with Prabhupada for 10,000 years.
Is that what they say, Maharaj?
And then it stops. What they're saying is that Prabhupada is the last member of the disciplic succession.
Mm-hmm. Like Jesus.
That's what they're saying. He is the last and final member of the disciplic succession. And if you put it to them that way, they'll say, no. That's not what we're saying, because they know that, I mean, they were brought up in ISKCON, and even to them, that sounds stupid. Even to them, that's too much to swallow. They can't buy that. We're not saying that the disciplic succession stops. But if you put it on paper and look at it, what is it?
That's what he means.
It doesn't stop, but he's the last member.
Yeah.
It's like the road doesn't end, but it doesn't go any further. Thank you. That's what they're saying. It's not that the road ends. We're not saying that. It's just that it doesn't go any further.
It stops.
It's word jugglery. It's word jugglery.
This is their philosophy. Srila Prabhupada is the last and final member of the disciplic succession.
I have an answer to what happens to all the, coming back to your tree analogy,
mm-hmm.
It's just like trimming one branch of the tree. There are lots of other branches.
Yeah, actually, that's also there. This only applies to Prabhupada's specific succession. All the other ones can go on. The Madhvites outside of the Gaudiyas, they can go on.
What about the Gaudiyas?
The Ramanujites can go on. The Gaudiya Mutt, of course, they're all bogus, but they can go on. Every other disciplic succession in the world can go on, except Prabhupada's, because he's the last and final member. Everybody else goes on, you know. Bhuti Maharaj is no longer in this world. Bodhayan Maharaj is his successor. Srila Sridhar Maharaj is no longer in this world. He appointed Govinda Maharaj as his successor. They'll have their success. Everybody else's parampara will go on, except this one. Because Prabhupada declared that he would be the last and final member of the disciplic succession.
When you see, like, Krishna is there, and Krishna is not alone. There are so many associates and people. Just alone, you don't pray to Krishna. So many associates are there.
That's another question. I'm just making up the. I mean, there's so many arguments. That one's good too. But this one, you know, just taking it at face value, that all right, let's understand what you're saying. We won't say whether it's good, bad, indifferent, or anything. But this is actually, you know, let's understand what you're saying first of all. Then we'll see whether it's good or bad. This is what they're saying.
Why do you have to put the limit on 10,000 years? Why can't it go
ask them.
Ad infinitum?
Ask them, you know, why can't Prabhupada, but there's no Sankirtan movement, so they throw out this figure, you know, if it were 5,000 years that Prabhupada was the guru, then okay. They'd have to explain what happens for the other 5,000
okay.
years. So they've got this number, you know, 10,000 years, because that's how long the Sankirtan, so as long as the Sankirtan movement goes on, it's Prabhupada, and then it's over. Yes.
Prabhupada, the Yuga Acharya.
Well, I don't, that's a, you know, like a separate question. You know, everybody wants to glorify the Acharya, that's okay, Yuga Acharya. You know, when you get down to what it means, we could talk about that. But first, getting back to this, this is what they're saying. Some of them, the people from Bangalore, this is what they're saying. This Gujarati fellow from England, this is, you know, who's their theologian, the guy who's never initiated. This is their philosophy.
Krishna countryside.
Yeah, this is their philosophy. There are other people who have different philosophies. They say, well, until a pure devotee comes, it's Prabhupada. But then how do you know, when a pure devotee is coming? And when does it self-effulgent acharya? You know, they have all these ideas. But the guys who put out, you know, the guys who are the headline guys who put out all this junk on the internet, who put out all these pamphlets and come to your ratiyatras and, you know, and who feed all the orphans and all of this kind of stuff. This is their philosophy.
To kill Prabhupada.
This is their philosophy. So should you choose to buy it, this is what it is. The cyclic succession stops. Why does it stop? Because Prabhupada wrote a letter on July 9th, and when you read it very, very carefully, you can understand that in that letter, Prabhupada stopped the whole disciplic succession. Right?
Have to rewrite the Bhagavad Gita.
You know, the whole thing, and you know, he didn't tell us, you know, even after July 9th, he never came out and said, you know, by the way, I've decided to stop the disciplic succession and be the last and final member. He just kind of wrote it to in this one letter that he sent to all the temples on July 9th and didn't really make it absolutely clear that, you know, this is what I'm doing. I'm stopping. It's me for the next 10,000 years. He left that for Krishnakanti Sai to come along 15 years later and figure out.
I was speaking to one of the devotees. He said that Garga Muni, he was an astrologer, and he was making a plan of Kaliyuga, that Krishna will be appearing 5,000 years after the Kaliyuga will start in the form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then it will continue for, as you said, for next 5,000 years. The total becomes next 10,000 years. And at the end of the 10,000 years, you know, there will be Vishnu temple or say Lord Gauranga will be there in every lane, every house there will be a temple.
Anyway, so what's your point? What point do you want to make?
Can you further explain what? About Garga Samhita?
No.
I thought you were putting me like this. You got the mercy.
Can someone please tell this gentleman what we're talking about?
I just thank for the marathon explanation.
Who they blame, why they blame, but this is their philosophy.
Uh-huh. There are also instances where Srila Prabhupada told the disciples that you're going to have your own disciples, you're going to initiate and you're going to have your own disciples.
Those who would like to see it, there's an essay on my website, jswami.info, where the Ritvik people are wrong. You look on the left side of the website and you click on About Unusual Doctrines. And you will find that essay, Where the Ritvik People Are Wrong, followed by another one called Where the Ritvik People Are Wrong Again.
Jswami?
Huh? Jswami.info.
How about Where the Ritvik People Are Right?
Yeah, there's one Where the Ritvik People Are Right. The one where they're wrong is 25 pages. The one where they're right is 2 pages.
But they quoted you.
Yeah, no, they quote, even the 2 pages, they won't quote the whole 2 pages. They will not quote the whole 2 pages. They're so dishonest. They will not quote the whole thing. They always leave off the beginning, the part that says what, you know, dodos they are. Because even a person who is 90% wrong will still be 10% right. Bhadrinarayan Prabhu says that according to his grandfather used to say, that even a stopped clock is right twice a day.
That's a good one.
You know, so they're not 100% wrong. They're only 95% wrong. That means they're 5% right. Congratulations. Now, I understand that there are problems in ISKCON. I understand that spiritual masters, or people who are supposed to be spiritual masters, have fallen down. I understand that there are all sorts of difficulties. There are problems. The other thing I understand is that this is not the solution. Yeah. But they make this thing, problem, 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 and therefore, that doesn't follow.
Wrongs don't make a right.
Yeah, the fact that there's a problem doesn't mean that the first thing that walks down the street is the solution. You know, I need a doctor, I need a doctor, I need a doctor. So whoever walks down the street must be a doctor. So not whatever solution presents itself as being the solution makes sense. My first reaction to this stuff when it first started coming out was like, are you guys kidding me? What? It's so cockamamie. It's so off the wall. It's so out there. It's so distant. It's so outer. It's so weird. It's so flaky that I looked at it and said, you know, who's going to accept this? Yeah, I wouldn't think that anyone, any sensible person would look at this and give it any credence. And boy, was I wrong. You know, the people are capable of being bewildered, and they want to, they'll believe anything, however bad the logic, however crummy the idea. Anyway, there it is. If you'd like, you and everyone else can be Prabhupada's disciple for the next 10,000 years, and we just cancel this Evam Parampara jazz, you know. That unbreakable disciplic succession was broken in 1977. It's not broken. It stays for the next 5,000 years, but it's on hold. It's not that the disciplic succession stops, it's just on hold for the next 10,000 years. And then it stops. You know, it's like a phone call. It's not actually that you've been disconnected. It's only that you're going to be on hold
for about an hour.
Indefinitely. Yeah. And then the line is going to go dead.
That's a great analogy.
All right. Nonsense dismissed. Thank you all very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. If you have any more questions about this Rasamatas, you can either look on my website, or if you have any more questions, you can ask tomorrow or come see me.
In 9th Jula letter, it was said that his divine grace is not keeping well.
Yeah.
He cannot travel. So far, now on.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
just his phrase is there.
It's so interesting. The July 9th letter, yeah. I mean, there's so many things wrong with
there's
the
argument. There's so many things wrong with it.
The one thing is that the whole July 9th letter is there in a conversation to Tamal Krishna Maharaj,
yes,
a few days earlier.
Yeah.
All the content of it. And the whole content is, or the whole question, the question that's asked is, what do we do about these people who are waiting to be initiated?
Mm-hmm.
We're telling them to wait because you're sick. That's the question. Not the question. Question's not, Srila Prabhupada, how will the disciplic succession go on after you leave? The question is, what do we do about these people who are waiting to be initiated? And the question, the time when that question's actually asked, how will the disciplic succession go on? That's not July 9th. That's when the GBC is meeting with Prabhupada in his room in Vrindavan. And Satsrup Maharaj asks exactly that question. And that's the one where Prabhupada talks about disciple of my disciple. And there's no July 9th razzmatazz, and you know, everyone will be my disciple, and you write them in the book, and all that stuff. They're really cuckoo birds.
And literally, so far I know, I met Madhu Pandit Prabhu, you know, you were there, you came to Krishna Balaram Maharaj, was in mourning, Krishna Balaram Maharaj asking you.
Oh, then, yes.
Why you did it like
yeah,
this?
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Screaming, and that time
yeah,
we were there.
You were there.
Yeah, and I ran up from there because it was screaming.
You were one of the inmates then.
Yeah, then, you know, immediately I left.
And he was dishonest with me. I said, you know, hey, if I, you know, if you can't come up with the evidence, will you, you know, and he didn't come up with the evidence. I said, hey, you, you know, the deadline's passed. You haven't come up with the evidence. Well, it's just now coming. You know, let's give him a little more time. He never came up with the evidence, and he never issued the, you know, the acknowledgement that it was wrong.
So he wasn't honest.
No, Pundit wasn't honest. He cheated.
So, Sofar, I actually had a nice interview with Madhu Pandit Prabhu. I asked him very honestly,
yeah,
what actually inspires you to go for Ritvik?
Yeah.
You were so, you know, staunch follower of your Guru Maharaj.
Yeah.
And then he didn't answer me. He said, why are you asking me this nonsense question? You don't see the reality? Then I went to his followers, I mean, 15 hardcore Ritvik people.
Yeah.
Then I asked them same question.
Yeah.
What inspired you to follow this devotee and reject your guru?
Yeah.
They couldn't answer. Then they said one thing. Actually, this whole game is due to her false prestige and material attachment. The story behind this is that.
Yeah.
Then they analyze how Madhu Pandit Prabhu rejected his guru just to be, you know, all in all of this temple. This is the story.
I mean, it's funny. Some boys came to Govardhan, and they were from Bangalore. And they sat and took prasadam and everything. And Keshav Bharati Maharaj asked them, where are you from? They said, we're from Bangalore. He said, who's your guru? And basically, I forget exactly the blow by blow, but basically said, they said Madhu Pandit.
Yeah, he's his own acharya.
I basically said Madhu Pandit. Another time,
yeah,
I,
Ritvik acharya.
Another time I met a, I was in not Belgaum, near Belgaum. There's another place.
Hubli.
Not Hubli.
Tarwar?
Not Hubli. Something with a group.
What was Tarwar is there?
What's that place? Actually, that's Calcutta. But something like that, somewhere there. Between a little south of Belgium. I have a friend there. I've forgotten the name of the place. And I met him, and one of his friends also happened to come and meet us. And he'd just come from Bangalore and been initiated. He was a simple guy. I said to him, he said, I was just initiated. I said, oh, well, whose disciple are you? He said, oh, I'm Prabhupada's disciple. He said, oh, who was your Ritvik? He said, what do you mean? I said, no, you know, who was your Ritvik? And, you know, we went back and forth. You know, it's, you know, okay, you're Prabhupada's disciple. Who was your Ritvik? He said, well, I'm Madhu Pandit. I said, oh, there's a problem. He said, what do you mean? I said, there's kind of a problem there. He said, what do you mean? I said, yeah, there's really kind of a problem. He said, what do you mean? So he had a copy of Final Order there, so I opened it up to July 9th letter. I said, you see, there are only 11 authorized Ritviks. I said, he's not an authorized Ritvik.
He used our own philosophy.
I said, see, here are the 11. Prabhupada said, these 11. You know, henceforward, these 11.
Good.
I said, so he's not an authorized. He said, but the GBC can make more. I said, it doesn't say that here. And anyway, they haven't. So I said, it's a problem. Initiation, but it's not an authorized.
Yeah, Ritvik. You're not an authorized Ritvik.
You're not an authorized.
Great.
Yeah. Final order, that's all right, but.
like Mahaprabhu, he knew the philosophy so well, he could establish Mayavad and he could defeat Mayavad.
Well, if you know their philosophy, it doesn't take a whole lot. You know, it's really bad. That's what gets me. It's so bad as a philosophy, as a, you know, it depends on such,
holes in it, yeah.
Such duplicity.
Ritviks.
Huh?
Ritviks?
Yeah. And they don't even agree with one another, you know.
Especially when it comes to money and having to pay for stuff.
No. The Yashodhanandan Ritviks are absolutely against the
IRM or
against the Sai Ritviks on philosophical grounds. You know, they have the wrong Ritvik philosophy.
Well, the real Ritvik, please stand up.
So anyway, may they feed a lot of hungry kids.
Now, Madhavan
is school students.
Well, maybe Hansadura, he's one of the few on that list, right?
Yeah, he's a bona fide.
He's maybe the only one.
No, there's Krishnananda Swami.
Oh, didn't know he's still initiating.
Well, why not, you know?
Yeah, 3 years back, Maharaj, 15 up, he's a staunch follower of the left temple and he'll be initiated by others.
Oh, they keep leaving.
No, 15, staunch, leaders,
no,
they left the temple.
There's always, there was just a recent group, I just heard.
Yeah, and then what, Madhav Panditpur made a rule, no one can ask me what and why I'm doing this. No one can ask me, they have no right.
King can do no wrong.
So, yeah, they can ask me, I'm not accountable.
Oh.
Say, yeah, anyway, I'm not accountable. This is the latest news. Whatever you need, just... ask me, I will give. No problem.
You'd have to be a cult member to accept that.
Well, my experience from going there over the years was that basically he lost almost all of his people. He still has Chan Chopati. He still has,
yeah,
you know, a small handful of people. But even then, the more recent thing that started happening is that he loses the, you know, he's been depending on like new recruits, but he loses them after a while too.
Yeah.
They start to, you know...
And they're all paid, Maharaj. All the pujaris are
no,
paid.
No, that's not
now.
True.
Pujaris
I mean,
are
maybe
paid.
Pujaris are all paid.
Yeah.
But there's some... They recruit nice young people, you know. They come to the... They preach in colleges. They students come to the temple. They see beautiful deity worship, beautiful temple, everything wonderful. And so they join. But then after they stay for some time... hard for them to stay.
What is happening there is, anyone comes to know about what is happening, then Madhu Pandit either kicks them out or he files a case against them.
Yeah.
Oh.
He lets them know that in case we talk...
Yeah. Like files a case against some
of
the Gauri Mahat.
He's done that with his people.
With many brahmacharis, congregation devotees
nasty.
Have filed a case saying he tried to rape a mother.
Yeah, yeah.
Shades of the Gauri Mahat.
Many devotees have that.
He loses his people. I know he's lost a lot of people, even people who believed his philosophy, he lost them just because they couldn't get along with him.
The show can't
you know,
go on forever.
They couldn't handle his, you know, autocratic way of doing things. So they said, well, you know, we have that devotee in Bombay who's working in the book department. He was convinced that the philosophy is right. They just couldn't work with Madhu Pandit, the guys, you know. It's easier to work with the zonal acharya than to work with
Savatula, I think, left. He's now in something, Hubli.
Hubli, that's not Hubli.
Hubli.
Hubli. That's the place I was thinking of.
Yeah, Hubli, they have 6-7 devotees are there doing Buddhist division.
Huh.
They're neither Ritvik nor Iskan, that's the Kanais.
Yeah, sort of something.
They're sort of something.
Anyway. Sort of something is better than Ritvik. At least sort of something means you really don't know. Ritvik means you're convinced of the wrong thing.
Because I talked to Savatur, he had a desire to take revenge against Madhu Pandit.
Mm.
So in that... I'm sorry. This is...